We're starting to learn Masechtas Chagiga. We're going to start from the beginning of Daf Bei Samad Aleph. Just by 10 seconds of introduction, so to clarify a point of confusion, when a person comes up to be Oyle Regel, so there are actually, on a standard, three karbonos that a person is going to bring with them. One is the Karban Chagiga. We're learning Masechtas Chagiga. But that has to do with the fact that it's Yontif, and on Yontif you have to bring a Karban. Because it's Yontif, because it's one of the Regalim, you have to bring a Chagiga. The second Karban, which is what our Mishnah seems to be talking about, is a Karban Re'iyah. And that's actually a Karban Oyla. So Karban Oyla is the second Karban that a person brings with them. And that's because of the fact that they're coming to see the Shekhinah, they're coming into the Azara, so they bring a Karban Oyla, and that Karban is entirely for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because as you know, an Oyla is entirely burnt, except for the skin, is entirely burnt on the Mizbeach. And then thirdly, there is a mitzvah of Simcha. Because it's Yontif, there's a mitzvah of Simcha. So a person, as we're going to learn later in the Masechta, a person's Simcha is Nekayim by eating meat, and especially if it's the meat of a carbon. So we bring a carbon Shlomim, and that carbon is, that's a regular carbon Shlomim, but it's associated with the fact that there is Simcha. So at the end of the day, the average person is going to bring three carbonis, as we just said. The carbon Simcha, which is a Shlomim, a carbon Chagiga, which is also a Shlomim, and then a carbon Oilus Re'iyah, which is an Oila, which is entirely burnt. Okay, so that's just again, for a point of clarification, when we're learning the Masechta, we have to understand which korbanos we're talking about in the beginning. But let's start the Mishnah. I'm going to read the Mishnah as the way the Mishnah is written, and as we go through the Gemara, we'll see that various lines in the Mishnah don't quite mean what we think they mean when we read them simply, and the Gemara will interpret them or explain them in different ways. In any event, the Mishnah starts as follows: Hakol chayovim b'ri'iyah. Everybody is chayev in the mitzvah of re'iyah. So just as for starters, Rashi learns the mitzvah of re'iyah that we're discussing over here is simply the fact that you have to come to be seen in the Azara. Tosfos brings a different pshat that we're actually talking about the korban oilus re'iyah, but again, we'll stick with Rashi's pshat that we're talking about simply showing up in the Azara to be seen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everybody is chayev in this mitzvah, chutz mecheresh shoyte v'koton, except the exceptions to the rule are the following. A cheresh is somebody, as we'll see in the Gemara, who can't hear and can't, well, or can't hear. That's the simple pshat in the word cheresh. Shoyte is somebody who doesn't have all his faculties. A koton is somebody who's under the age of bar mitzvah. Tumtum is also exempt as somebody who you cannot tell based on their physical nature of whether they are a zachar or an akeva. Androgynous is just the opposite, that they have both features, both zachrus and akevas. Vinoshim, and women generally. Ve'avodim she'enim shuchrorim. Again, we're reading the Mishnah just a simple pshat. We're talking about an eved that is not free. Okay, so even though an eved by definition, a slave is generally not free, but that's the diik of the Gemara, that a slave that is not free is also not chayiv in the mitzvah of re'iyah. Hachigar is somebody who is lame, who doesn't walk properly, v'hasuma, and somebody who is blind, v'hachayla, and somebody who is sick, as we'll see in the Mishnah is going to define this, v'hazokain, and somebody who is very old, and we'll see what the problem with that is, they are also potter. U'misha eni yochol la'alois biraglov, and anybody for that matter who, for whatever reason, one reason or another, is not able to walk, as Rashi learns, from Yerushalayim to the Azara. They're not even within Yerushalayim to the Azara. That's how Rashi learns. They're not able to make that walk. They are exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. They are exempt from going to the Beis HaMikdash. Ezu Katan. Now we'll start defining a little bit in the Mishnah. Ezu Katan. What do we define as a Katan? Now we're not, as I said, the word Katan generally means under the age of 13, but that's not what this Mishnah means, as the Mishnah itself will clarify. Ezu Katan, what age Katan are we talking about? Kol she'ena yachal lirkoiv al kseifav shel aviv. Any kid who is not old enough to ride on their father's shoulders, again, we're talking about the way Rashi learns from Yerushalayim up to the Azara. Bulalais mi Yerushalayim lahar abayis, as actually the Mishnah says, to go from Yerushalayim to the har abayis. Divrei Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai says very machmir, because that's a very young age. At a very young age, a child is able to sit on their father's shoulders and be carried up to Yerushalayim. Beis Hillel, no, the age is slightly different. It's somebody, a child who is actually able to walk on their own two feet, just hold their father's hand, and walked from Yerushalayim to the Har Bayis. Shene'emar, as the Pasuk says, Shalosh Regolim. We call these the Shalosh Regolim. So the fact that the Torah refers to them, Regolim, with your feet, so we understand that to mean that you have to be able to physically be able to walk up to the feet. Now, the problem is, if we're talking about a katan, as we just said, these ages that we're talking about are much younger than 13 years old for a child who's able to walk on their own or carried, certainly much younger than that. So Rashi learns, very famous Rashi here, that says that we're talking about the mitzvah of chinuch, that it's a mitzvah on the parents to bring their child to Yerushalayim. So that's what we mean by katan. So that chiyuv comes, the way Rashi learns, is a chiyuv on the parents to bring. Now, the next part of this is we're talking about the korbanos that you bring. How much money do you have to spend minimum? Even though the Torah doesn't really set a price, but Chazal set a price for what you need to spend on these korbanos. The re'iyah, again, what we're talking about is the oilus re'iyah. You have to spend a minimum of shtei kesef, which Rashi says is, which is 3/4 of a dinner. Okay? The chagiga ma'a, and a chagiga is less than that, is only a ma'a. Ma'akesef. And Beis Hillel says just the opposite. Ha-re'iyah ma'akesef. The re'iyah is the cheaper bird, is the ma'akesef. Ha-chagigah shtei kesef. And the karban chagigah, the shalmei chagigah, that's the one that Chazal said you need to spend two kesef worth of value in order to bring the karban. That's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to go through the various parts of the Mishnah. First we start with the first word of the Mishnah is hakol la'asuye mai. The word hakol, everybody. So obviously we could have just said kol chayovin. We could have said the word kol, that everybody is chayav. Hakol is a ribuy, is coming to tell us that somebody else that we would not have otherwise known from the simple reading of the Mishnah, coming to tell us that that person is also chayav in the mitzvah of re'iyah. La'asuye, so first, the Gemara's first suggestion is, la'asuye mi shechetze yaveh v'chetze ben choyrin. To tell us that even if you have a person who's only a half a eved, who's half freed and half still working as a slave, that person is also chayiv in the mitzvah of re'iyah. So the Gemara says that's a very nice pshat. However, ulu ravina da'amar misha chetzei eved v'chetzei ben chayirin poter min ha're'iyah hakol la'asuye mai. Ravina is going to interpret this Mishnah that when the Mishnah says avodim she'enim shechrorim are potter, so we already said that they're not free, and a half eved half ben chayim is somebody who is not free, they're potter. So you cannot tell me that that's the case, that the Mishnah in the beginning is telling me you're chayiv, if the next line of the Mishnah is the one that's telling us that that case is the case that you're potter. So then we're back to our original question. So what's the hakol coming to be marbe? Which case is it coming to include that we would not have otherwise known? So the Gemara answers, la'asuye chigur b'yoyim rishon v'nispashet b'yoyim sheni. That we're talking about somebody who was lame on the first day and couldn't bring the korban on the first day, physically could not have brought the korban on the first day. And then later on in Yontif, or later on after Yontif, if you're talking about Shavuos, but later on, is able to bring the korban. So that's the chiddush, that they are chayiv to bring a korban, even though they were initially potter, now they're chayiv. So the Gemara says, one second. Heni chalamandi yomar kulin tashlum zelazeh. That makes sense if you hold like the Mandi Yarmah that says each day of Yontif is just another opportunity to bring the same carbon that you could have brought on the first day. And I'll explain this in a second. El Mandi Yomar, kulun tashlumen de rishoin. But according to the Mandi Yarmah that says generally every other day of Yontif is just there to fix up what you didn't do the first day. Hakola asuyemai. So we're back to our original question. So what would be this case that you'd be included? Because in fact, this case would be another example of something that you're potter. So what exactly is this machloika? So we know that there are korbanos that you're chayiv to bring on the first day of Yontif. If you did not bring that korban on the first day of Yontif, so we simply learn that you have an opportunity to bring mashlim that you can do them the second day, or the following 6 days of Yontif because you missed the first day. But those 6 days, are they their own opportunity? And it really has nothing to do with the first day. The first day is just another opportunity to bring it. And everybody agrees, of course, once you brought the korban, let's say the chagiga, once you brought the chagiga, you no longer have an obligation to bring a second chagiga. But the second day is just as much as an obligation as the first day, until you take care of that until you take care of that, or really is the chiyuv entirely on the first day? And that's what we mean by the second shita, that the chiyuv is really entirely on the first day. However, the Torah gives you an opportunity. Oh, everybody can't bring it on the first day, or everybody doesn't bring it on the first day. So therefore, the Torah says you can take care of this carbon any other day to make up for the fact that you didn't bring it the first day. So the major nafkamina will be if you had a perfectly legitimate excuse not to bring it on the first day. Because if it's only a tashlumin of the first day, that you're making up the mitzvahs really on the first day, if you had no mitzvah on the first day, there's nothing, it's like 7 times 0 is 0. If you had no mitzvah on the first day, the second day is also just as much as a potter, because it's only a chiv of the first day, which you had no chiv. So therefore, according to that Mandi Amar, somebody who was lame on the first day, which is totally exempt, as the Mishnah says, it's one of the exemptions to the rule, they have no chiyuv. If they have no chiyuv, they can't say, well, my chiyuv is on the second day. There's no, you can't develop and create a new chiyuv on the second day, according to this Mandi Amar. So once again, we're back to saying that that cannot be the pshat in someone who becomes, according to this Mandi Amar, somebody who would be, and that can't be what our Mishnah means, to be the person who would be chayiv to bring a korban. So the Gemara says, okay, another example. La'asuyasuma ba'achas me'einov. That means, so this is one teretz of the Gemara, it means somebody who's blind only in one eye. Yes, we know that somebody who's blind in both eyes is potter, maybe even potter from all the mitzvahs, but certainly potter from the mitzvah of re'iyah. But now the question is, what about somebody who's only blind in one eye? So we would think that you're going to be exempt based on the Gemara in the next line of the Gemara. Kamash Malon the Mishnah, a cult to say everybody's chayiv. Even this person who only has one sight in one eye is going to be chayiv. And he says, and that's why our Mishnah has to say this, because the loiki hai Tana, because it's not like the following Tana that in fact learns that that type of person who only has sight in one eye is potter. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Yochanan ben Dehavoy Oimer, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Yochanan, son of Davoy, says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Suma ba'achas me'enav potter min hari'iyo. Somebody who was blind in one eye is potter from the mitzvah of Riyah specifically. Shanemar yeroeh yeroeh. That you should, well, actually, yiro yiroeh. The pasuk says yiroeh, but we could also be read as yiro. So we dash them like this. Kederech shebo lirois kach bo lirois. So the way Rashi learns is like this. The same way that you are seen by a Kodesh Baruch Hu with his two eyes, whatever that means exactly, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu has all his faculties and he can see you, so too you have to come to be seen or to see when you come to the Beis HaMikdash. Ma lirois b'shtei einov, just like, again, so to speak, Hashem sees you with both eyes, with all his faculties. Ap lirois b'shtei einov, so too you come to be seen with both eyes. So it's a special drasha specifically in this mitzvah of Yira, of Re'iyah, that you need both eyes. So Mamela, that's why Rabbi Yochanan learns that you're going to be putter. Comes along our Mishnah and disagrees with that drasha for whatever reason, and our Mishnah says no, even one eye is enough, since you can see, you can be yotzei the mitzvah of re'iyah, and you would be chayiv in, and that's what our Mishnah is coming to tell us, that you're chayiv. That's one teretz of the Gemara. V'ibay is hema. A second teretz of the Gemara is like this. Olam kedamar me'ikar, really, we originally said, which was our first guess, if you want to call it that, our first attempt to give a teretz, was that we're talking about a chatzi eve, chatzi ben choirin. Oh, but what are you talking about? According to Ravina, he learns that that's the case that our Mishnah, when it says avonu sheinim shukhorim, that's the case of a Mishnah that you're potter, so how could it be the first line of the Mishnah says you're chayiv? My answer is like Kasha. Kan Commissioner Rishino, Kan Commissioner Achroino. It depends whether we're talking about the original way Beis Hillel learned versus the way eventually Beis Hillel learned. Originally, Beis Hillel learned that the case of a Chatzi Yebe Chatzi Ben Chayrin could be prominent. It could happen. If you have, let's say, the simplest case is you have two partners that they own a slave jointly, and then one of the two partners frees his slave, so now the second partner still owns this individual as his slave entirely, and the second, but the half that was freed is a total free man. So now the question is, are you chayev or potter? What's his status? So originally, Beis Hillel said that that's his status. His status is, as we'll see the next line of the Gemara, that he's a slave on one day for his master. And then eventually, Beis Shammai is going to suggest, and Beis Hillel is going to agree, that that can't be. So we're going to force the second owner to free the slave as well. So, Originally, the way to read the Mishnah is like this. Originally, Ravina says that that's, since he's not freed, he's potter. He still has that side of him that's an eved, and therefore he is potter. Comes along the Mishnah and says, hakol. No, even though originally we thought that that case can exist, and therefore you should be potter, the reality is eventually Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai, that case really doesn't exist, because the moment that first master frees him, he's going to be forced to be freed entirely. And therefore, even before he is freed entirely, he's already hakol chayovin, he is going to be chayev in the mitzvah of re'iyah. Aye, so what do we do with the fact that the second part of the Mishnah contradicts it? That's what happens. Once we learn the Mishnah, and it becomes incorporated as part of the Mishnayis, even if we later change our mind and have another Mishnah, in this case, the first line of the Mishnah, that comes la'afuke that, still the statement stays there as it is, and that's why we have the Girsa of Avadim Sheinim Shukhorim, which is, that remains pshat, that it does include this case that you're potter. However, the first case of the Mishnah, Hakol Chayoban, is coming to tell us that you're going to be chayev. That's the long-winded explanation. Now we're going to see in the Gemara what the Gemara is, what the Gemara refers to as the Mishnah Rishayna. That means before Beis Hillel changed his mind, and Beis Hillel felt that there was a possibility that you could have an Eved that's half free, half slave. That's none. This is the Mishnah that we're referring to. Misha chetzi Eved v'chetzi ben chayut. So somebody who is in a situation where he still remains a slave to one master, but was freed from his other master. So what he does is Eved es rabba yom echad. He serves his master as a slave one day. V'esatzma yom echad. But on the day that he would otherwise work for the second master, for that day he can serve himself. Divrei Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel says that kind of scenario can exist. Amar lahem Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai says, that's very nice. Tikantem es raboy. I'm going to learn the Pashup Shad over here. The Pashup Shad in the Gemara is, you helped the master, meaning you arranged that for the master, the first master who did not free his slave, he remains totally taken care of, because he'll still have his day that the slave is working for him. That's the Pashup Shad. Vein ves atmai loy tikantem. But the problem is the slave, that you're giving him the half a day off. So, in terms of work, you gave him work, but you don't, as a person, as a mensch, you didn't take care of him. Why? Lisa shivchayin a yachol, to marry a servant, a maid servant, he can't, because he's a half slave, and a slave is not allowed to marry a regular girl, a regular Jewish girl. Baschayin a yachol, and he can't marry a regular Jewish girl either, because he is a half a slave. Without getting into why there aren't exceptions to this rule, but yes, he can't marry anybody. Bilivato, so now, okay, so fine, so he won't get married. So the Gemara says that's not a possibility of haloi nivra ha'olam, ela l'piria v'rivya. The world was created so that we can multiply. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Leso bara l'shevas yitzra, that the world was not created to be empty, to be desolate. Okay. So therefore, we have to give him the opportunity to get married, and the arrangement right now doesn't allow him to marry anybody. Elam ifnei tikana olam. So in order that the world should work the way it's supposed to work, kufenes rabbi, we force the second master that didn't free him yet, v'oisoy ben chayrin, and the second master is going to be obligated to free him, because of leshtara chatzi domov. In this case, the slave is going to have to pay for his half, his freedom. Okay, and that's Beis Shammai Shita. So Beis Shammai says that case is not going to exist, because we're going to force him to free the second slave also. That's the Mishnah Rishonah. Then, v'chozru Beis Hillel l'hoyer es kedivrei Beis Shammai. And then Beis Hillel also agreed and said, you're right, Beis Shammai, that you're right, the big picture is we're going to have to free him also. And therefore, Beis Hillel also agrees that eventually, ultimately, he's going to be freed. Memelo, back to the point of our Mishnah in Chagigo, Memelo, it's going to come out that this Eved, even before he is freed, he's already going to be chayiv in the mitzvah of Re'iyah, and that's what the case of Hakol is coming to say, that you're chayiv, even though the next line of the Mishnah Taka says that Eved Sheinu Meshuchrer is potter. It's the contradiction exists, but that's why we have the word Hakol to tell us that you're going to be chayiv. The next part of the Mishnah that the Gemara is quoting is Chutz Mecher Shait V'Katon. So it seems like pretty simple, because we have that phrase all over Shas, that the exemptions to the rule is a Cherish, and I translated the word Cherish to mean somebody who cannot hear, who's deaf. However, right away the Gemara jumps on that and says, Katoni Cherish, Dumyu De Shait V'Katon. But right away, our Mishnah compares the case of Cherish, deaf, to in the same level as somebody who is Shaita, which means he doesn't have all his faculties, and a Katon who is not yet Bar Deah. And so therefore we say like this, Ma shoyta v'katan d'la b'nei deyo, just like we're discussing, we're comparing it to that case that they're talking about a person who does not have their full das. Avcheirish d'la b'nei deyo hu. So the cheirish, also the case that we have to be talking about, is the kind of person who is deaf and therefore as a result of his deafness is therefore not somebody who's fully incorporated into society. And is coming to tell us the reason. Our mission is coming to tell us by putting them together, kitzatnan, like the next mishnah that we're about to quote. As a general rule, of course there are exceptions, but as a general rule, whenever Chazal use the word cheirish, in general they mean she'eino shoymeh ve'eino medaber. We're talking about somebody who cannot hear and cannot speak. He's deaf and mute. Okay, that's the kind of person that's a cheirish. And that kind of person is the simple understanding of Chazal. Again, there are always exceptions to the rule, but the simple explanation is, we're talking, when Chazal put cheirish shoyta v'katan together, the type of cheirish that we're talking about is the type of guy who's deaf and mute, and therefore has no way of communicating or interacting with society. Memela, he's not considered a bar deya. And that's why in this case you're going to be potter. However, if you have somebody who could speak, just because he can't hear, or where he can hear but he can't speak, he is going to be chayev because he can interact, he can be part of the Torah and mitzvahs, and that's not what our case of our mission is coming to say. And Tanina Lahadatana Rabbanan, we learned that we have a Mishnah that actually backs up what Chazal taught us. Because it says, Hamadaber ve'enu shemeya, if we're talking about somebody who can talk, but even though he can't hear, Zeh Cheirish, then that's just considered a simple Cheirish. Shemeya ve'enu medaber Zeh Ilum, if somebody who can hear, but he just can't talk, that's a Ilum, that's a mute. And therefore, for halachic status, anybody who can either hear or he can speak is considered a pikeach, somebody who's smart, somebody who can interact with society for all their halachas, and they're going to be chayit. Okay, so that proves the point that we're talking about over here. So why are you exempt? Why is this cheirish in our mishnah potter? Because he's the case of a shoyta. He's the case that can't hear and can't speak, and therefore can't interact, and he doesn't have das. Now the gemara just asks a random question. How do we know that that's the definition, that if they could speak but they can't hear, that's the simple explanation of the word cheirish? What the word cheirish simply means, or shemeh ve'enu medaber zeh ilum, or the word when somebody who can hear but he cannot talk, that is the definition of ilam. Because the pasuk says, "Va'ani kecheirish lo yeshma," I am like a deaf person that cannot hear. Uki ilam lo yiftach piv, or like an ilam that cannot open his mouth. So we see that ilam is associated with talking, and cheirish is associated with being able to hear. That's one pshat in how we know that an ilam means that he simply can't speak, but that's not the case that we're discussing where he has both factors. Another answer, or another way to understand that ilam means simply that he cannot speak, kedamar inchi, like people say, ishtakel milule, that his kaya chadibur, his ability to be able to speak was taken away from him. And where do we get this? From the word ilam itself, the aleph and the lamed, that's from the word ishtakel, the first and last word of the word ishtakel. Milule, the mem, is the mem, so aleph, lamed, mem is the word ilam. So therefore we understand again that the word ilam means that somebody who is not able to speak has nothing to do with his hearing, it's just somebody who is not able to speak. Now, why does the Gemara, as we said, we were discussing before, same over here also, why do we need Ibai Yisayim? Well, one's a pasuk. What's wrong? What more do you need than a pasuk? So the answer, the simple answer is, because this is talking about David HaMelech didn't respond when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was insulted and David HaMelech should have stood up for him. So it says Ke'ilam lo yiftach piv means he may have just simply chosen not to speak, and that's why Hashem got angry at him, because he should have defended HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ke'ilam lo yiftach piv, and he was like an ilam that didn't speak. He didn't, because he chose not to. So the Gemara says no, that's not, it doesn't mean over there in that pasuk that he chose not to speak. We're talking ishtakel milule, that his ability to speak was taken away from him. And even so, he should have spoken. Even so, that he didn't have the ability to speak, he should have done something to show his objection to what was going on. In any event, so that's why we have Ibai Yisayim, because otherwise we would have thought any time somebody doesn't speak, somebody keeps quiet, they're an ilam. So that's not what it means. It means somebody who literally cannot speak. Alright, so now back to the point over here. So we now said that the word cheirish in our Mishnah means, compared to a shaitan and a katan, that they're totally potter. However, the Gemara continues, and it quotes actually first from what we just said before, which is medaber ve'ena shemeya shemeya ve'ena medaber chayiv. Somebody who can either speak alone, even if he can't hear, or somebody who can hear but he cannot speak, either one of those, simply just one of those problems, they're still considered in the community and they're chayiv in the mitzvah. Tanya, so we just quoted the fact that if he can talk or hear, he's going to be chayav. But Tanya, we have a brisa that says, medaber ve'en shemei shemei ve'en medaber potter. Oh, so we have a brisa that simply says that if he has actually only one of these problems, he's already potter. So we have again back to our contradiction. Our mission on the one hand says that if you have both problems, you're potter. But if you have one of the two, you're chayav. And we have a brisa over here that says you're going to be potter. So Amar Ravina ve'itemer Rava. It's either Ravina or Rava explains like this. Chesuri mechzer v'hachi gitani. Our Mishnah is written in a way that you could tell that it's missing words and you have to insert words in order to come up with the correct pshat. V'hachi gitani. And this is how to learn pshat in our Mishnah. Hakol chayovim b'ri'iyu u'besimcha. Really, everybody, including somebody who can't talk or can't hear, is chayiv in the mitzvah of Re'iyah and in the mitzvah of Simcha, chutz mi'cheirish ha-medaber ve'ena shemeya, except somebody who can't hear, or shemeya ve'ena medaber, or somebody who can't speak, she'poter min ha-Re'iyah, that already just having one chisarin is enough to make them poter min ha-Re'iyah. However, va'afal pisha poter min ha-Re'iyah, even though they are exempt from the mitzvah of Re'iyah, of coming up to the Beis HaMikdash, chayiv b'simcha, they're still chayiv in the mitzvah of Simcha, which we'll get to define later, that they're chayiv in that mitzvah of Simcha. That's where you are actually chayiv. That's the first line in our Mishnah, you're chayiv. And then when you're dealing with somebody who cannot hear and cannot speak, so they're similar to a chayiv shayit v'katan, that's where you're potter af min ha-simcha, you're potter from that mitzvah of simcha, and you know what? Only because because they're potter from everything. So they can't be chayiv in this, you can't be potter from everything and all of a sudden chayiv in this one single mitzvah. So they're really potter from everything. So that means that comes out from our Mishnah that even though our case of our Mishnah says chayrish, what it really means is, according to this pshat in the Gemara, what it really means is that we're talking, and it depends whether you're talking about the mitzvah of Re'iyah or we're talking about the mitzvah of Simcha, and you now have to say that even though our Mishnah doesn't say anything about Simcha, that you have to insert the word Simcha into our Mishnah, that our Mishnah was talking about Simcha as well, and that's where we're talking. And when we said a Cheresh means we're talking about Simcha. That's the part that is totally potter, that he's like a Shoita. But in fact, in the mitzvah of Re'iyah, even though he only can't see, or he only can't hear, or he only can't talk, he actually is Chayiv in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. So it comes out, once you learn Pshat based on this price and what our Mishnah meant to say, that our Mishnah is saying exactly the opposite of what you would naturally simply read the Mishnah to be saying. Even somebody who can't hear and can't speak is already potter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. All you need is one of these chisroinus, and you're already somebody who's potter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. You only need the fact that they can't talk and can't speak in order to potter them from the mitzvah of Simcha. But with respect to the mitzvah of Re'iyah, having one chisroin is already enough to make you potter. Even though the Gemara earlier made the deek, the cheresh in our Mishnah meant that you can't hear and can't speak in order to make you putter, that part of the Mishnah was really referring to the mitzvah of Simcha. But with regard to the mitzvah of Re'iyah, already missing one faculty, either missing hearing or missing speaking, is already enough to say that you're going to be putter. Anyanami Hochi, we have a braisa also that backs up this understanding. It says, Hakol chayovim b'Re'iyah u'besimcha. Again, similar to the way we just learned, that if everybody is chayiv in the mitzvah of Re'iyah and Simcha chutz mecheresh ha-medaber ve'ena shemeya, shemeya ve'ena medaber, except somebody already has one chisaron, they either can't hear or they can't speak, she'peturim min ha-Re'iyah, we have a peferish, they're already potter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Ve'afal pi she'peturim min ha-Re'iyah, even though they're potter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah, now on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, chayiv b'simcha. They still remain chayiv in the mitzvah of simcha because they're still part of society, so they have a regular mitzvah of simcha. However, v'esh ena lo yishay meyav lo yimedaber. somebody who cannot speak and cannot talk. Now that's the cheresh that we were discussing before, that totally out of society, and therefore v'shoita v'katan is similar to a shoita and a katan. Then peturin af min ha-simcha. Then they are of course exempt from the mitzvah of simcha related to yontif. Hoyol peturin mikol mitzvahs amuras peturin. And the reason for that is because they're simply potter from all the mitzvahs in the Torah. So once you have somebody who is potter from mitzvahs, they're obviously going to be potter from the mitzvah of simcha, because that's no different than anything else. The mitzvah of re'iyah is a special, unique mitzvah that, for whatever reason, Chazal understood that you have to have all your faculties, you have to be able to hear, or even if you're missing speaking or anything like that, that's already enough to make you exempt and potter from the mitzvah of re'iyah. Okay, we'll stop over here.